It's the Beckler and Shauna podcast, your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
Brought to you by Shane Holmes,
offering affordable customization on your new home.
It's Friday, April 19th, 2024. I'm Beckler.
I'm Shauna.
This is the end of week Beckler and Shauna Pisscast.
It sure is.
It felt like a dirty long week.
It felt like a real long one. I don't know why.
Wednesday, we looked at each other. We're like, it's only Wednesday.
I know. Those are always terrifying days. Oh, God.
And often it's if you have like big plans on the weekend. I don't even have big plans this weekend that made the week feel long. But
our band is playing a gig tomorrow, so that's kind of a big plan, but that's it.
Where's the gig?
Trolley 5.
What time?
8 p.m.
Where do you get tickets?
We play for the long ass time. It's free.
Oh.
So if you feel like coming and dropping by, we're playing upstairs. You can just come up there, hang out. There's lots of room up there. We're playing three sets. We'll be on from 8 till probably 11, 11:30-ish.
Well, look at that. If you're hearing this before April 20th,
yeah,
you can go check out Shauna's band at Trolley 5.
Free. It's free.
For free?
It's free. Free music for you.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
The weather was crap this week. I think that's part of it. Like, we had snow. We had some insane wind. Couldn't really be outside.
No.
So it's
no,
supposed
it was rough.
To get nicer on the weekend and into next week. So that'll be nice. Looking forward to that.
Yes.
The NHL playoffs start tomorrow night. We didn't really talk about that today on the show, but we are both wearing our jerseys.
We are.
You in your Leafs jersey, me in my Bruins jersey.
My God, we're doing it again.
Because that is the first round matchup.
Kill me now.
I'm so excited. Do you have an undershirt on under your jersey, or are you Jason Kennying it?
I have an undershirt.
Good.
On. Yeah. I don't want to rub my nips up against the old jersey there.
If you don't remember, my buddy noticed in this photo of Jason Kenny at the Saddle Dome that he didn't have an undershirt on underneath his Flames jersey.
He's bare nipping it.
Yeah, we're like, that's strange, man.
Yeah.
When we were during the election, when we were trying to get the Premier Danielle Smith to come in here, she didn't respond to our messages. That was going to be my first question to her. So, do you wear a shirt under your Flames jersey, or do you just go raw into that thing?
Right. Big question.
Probably would have come off wrong since I was asking a woman that.
Probably. Yeah. I could have asked.
You could have asked it.
Yeah. I want to know. Yeah.
And then if she had said, well, I don't wear a Flames jersey, I wear an Oilers jersey.
Oh, God.
Well, thanks for coming. That concludes the interview.
Get out. Ow!
I'm hoping the Oilers get beat out in the first round by the Kings. That would be really sweet. The Bruins can win and the Oilers can lose. I would be so happy.
Mm-hmm.
On today's show, I'm not even going to tell you because I actually don't have time. So This is your Out of Context clip.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
There's just a doozy of a Vancouver Soft story that I've got for you, Beckler.
All right.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
Let's get some Vancouver Soft music going
here.
Yes,
please. Okay, here's the headline. BC woman tempts stranded orca calf with Tennessee whiskey on the violin.
That's going to need an explanation, I think.
Yeah. So a Nanaimo woman, she was serenading a killer whale calf with her violin, hoping to entice this orca to leave this lagoon where it's been trapped. So this is a story that's been ongoing for a little bit there, and there's this baby orca calf thing that's been trapped in this lagoon.
And that's sad.
That's sad. That part is not good. This woman, though, decided to take her fiddle because she was like, I think I can help. And she went with her violin and played the orca baby calf. A little diddle.
We've tried everything. We've tried the violin and nothing seems to be working.
Yeah,
so.
Her name is Carol Love, which also really adds to all this. So Love decided to go down there with her violin, and she said when the tides were low, she was trying to coax it, softly coax it with her violin, her soft violin music.
She saw the story and she said, I'm needed.
I know how to do this. This is my calling, everyone. This baby orca calf needs me.
Sitting by the water, playing the violin.
Yeah, by the beautiful open ocean.
This is a dumb question, but can the orca even hear it if it's underwater? do the frequencies penetrate the lagoon?
Well, yes, obviously. She knows all of that. Yes, she is there. The vibrations are going to...
Man.
Yes, send this orca baby calf thing.
I wonder what it's like to live there when this stuff's just going on all around you all the time, you know? It's like, no, sorry, we actually can't make it. On Tuesdays, Carol plays the violin to the orcas.
It's every high tide.
What the hell?
Yep. At high tide, go and see Carol Love. Entice the baby orca out of its lagoon.
Is that during high tide? Yeah, that's not going to work for us.
No, no. The baby orca calf
Carol plays to the orcas tonight. Anyway.
Oh, it's low tide. No, there, wait for high.
Is there a way we can help this orca or something?
We, yes, text to
1-2-3-4-5. Good. Good. We're raising money, so...
Again, I'm really, honestly, I am actually very concerned about the baby orca calf thing. But Carol, come on.
Carol Love, everyone.
Carol. The Fagler and Shauna podcast.
Our producer Logan showed me this yesterday. I'm going to play a few clips for you here, okay, Shauna?
Okay.
And just have a listen to these. They're all short clips, but okay. take a listen to them. Hey, there's one.
Okay.
There's another.
Uh-huh. I'm noticing a pattern.
And finally.
I'm picking up some similarities.
Would you believe me if I told you that those are four different songs from the same album?
Nope. That is really funny.
Would you believe me if I told you that that was Fleetwood Mac?
Oh, man. Fleetwood really likes those riffs.
Oh,
hey?
Man.
Wow.
So this is Fleetwood Mac's second album, Mr. Wonderful.
Yeah.
This is long before Lindsey Buckingham or Stevie Nicks joined the band. But there are four songs on that album which begin like that, with the exact same riff.
He has to warm up a bit before he launches into the song is what's happening there, right?
But even the song gets going, it starts...
He's still
exactly
warming
the same.
Up. Okay, it takes a while.
And this one's a little slower.
He's really tired, this one.
So it's Dust My Broom.
Oh my God.
Dr. Brown.
That's funny.
Need Your Love Tonight and Coming Home.
I like it.
Like, do you think there was a discussion about that in the studio when they recorded this album? Like, hey, we've already used that one.
He's like, no, but I gotta.
You shut up.
This is how I start my songs, okay? It's how I start them all.
And if I don't start it like that,
then the song sucks.
And it won't be a good song.
Okay?
That's
you
unbelievable.
You want the song to suck or not? Let me play my notes.
Pretty incredible that that's the same band that went on to make Rumors, which is one of the greatest albums of all time.
It's because he warmed up.
He took a long time to get that.
He had to warm up a few times.
Had to get that out of his system. So anything, I think this is a very hopeful tale because, I mean, you could be making music that frankly sucks.
Sounds,
you know,
the same.
Like, yeah, everything sounds the same, that guy. And if you stick with it, mm-hmm. We're talking about sticking with it today, Shauna.
Absolutely.
Stick with it.
You
and
stick
maybe,
with that note, okay? You start every song the same way and see what happens.
Maybe Rumors is in your future, too. Maybe you will make one of the great rock albums ever. And you're just going to have
there's
to get through a bit of this.
The Beckler and Shauna Podcast. Etymology with Shauna.
Yesterday, we were talking about the etymology of the game Crokinole, which we both love, and it means a small, crunchy biscuit.
Yes, which is a great name.
A great, great etymology for a game, so I love that. And I thought I'd get deeper into some other games real quick for you.
Okay.
Similar type games. I started with one that I used to play with my grandma. It's a real grandma named Canasta. So
is that an Ontario thing?
No, it's a card game, but it's very involved and it's very old people-esque.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's Spanish. The word is basket in Spanish. Mm. So it just directly relates to the tray that you discard cards in. So that one's pretty simple. Rummy. Have you ever played Rummy?
I haven't played it, but I've heard of it.
Or Rummy Q. It's the one with those little tiles that you use and lost another great old person game. Rummy just means strange. And it's because it's a very old game. And when people started playing it back then, you were seen as strange. It was just seen as a real weird game, and the people playing it were weird, and everything about Rummy was just weird, so they just called it strange. Poker. This one I didn't ever think about before, but it comes from a German card game that's very similar called Postspiel, and that just means to brag or bluff.
Oh, that makes perfect sense.
So poker's name is just bluff. That's mm-hmm. That's why we call it that. Makes perfect sense. Blackjack comes from France in the early 1700s, and there it's called 21. It's just called 21. So it just has a different name. I just thought that was kind of interesting.
It's not like Noir Jacques or something?
21. No, they don't play it. Say
are blackjack. You impressed that I knew what the translation
that
would be to blackjack?
Very impressive.
Thank you.
Yeah, I need to take a moment, actually. What was it again?
Noir Jacques?
It's amazing. Wow. Okay.
Look at this Sasky, hey?
Are you trying to learn French over there?
I think he's fancy. I'm going to get beat up by the other Saskies if I'm not careful.
My God. And then just one more, billiards.
Okay, but my boys were asking, like, why is it called pool? And I said, I don't know. It's really called billiards. But
yes. Yeah. So billiards comes from either the old French bi, which just means stick of wood. So you're playing stick of wood, and that's from the medieval Latin tree. So really it just means tree, and it's, of course, talking about the cue. Or from the Latin word bilia, which just means balls. So some people think that we just used to call the game itself balls, which I'm kind of glad we extended beyond, to be honest. You want to go play some balls?
I can think of a few people who know their way around a game of stick of wood and balls. I had to.
You know a few of them, eh?
You guys want to play some stick of wood and balls? Come on. I like that stick of wood and balls.
We started with stick and wooden balls and then just shortened to straight balls. Let's go play balls.
Etymology with Shauna.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
I found this map of the most common last names in each Canadian province and territory.
Okay.
Very interesting, Shauna. Very interesting. So I thought I'd just quiz you on this a little, and don't feel bad if you don't get it. But BC, Alberta, Saskatchewan, Ontario, and all three territories have the same most common last name. Can you guess what it is?
I want it.
Super common.
I was going to say, like, would it be Smith?
It's Smith. It's Smith.
Okay.
And then in second, third, and fourth place in those provinces is some combination of Johnson, Anderson, Brown. Very common.
Those make
names.
Sense. Yeah.
Smith is the second most common name in both Newfoundland and in Nova Scotia. Can you guess what would be the most common name? Nova Scotia, I'll give you a hint. Think about the Scottish influence in Nova Scotia.
Would it be McDonald?
It's McDonald. Yeah, nice work. I was going to give you a hint. I was going to say that he had a farm, E-I-E-I-O, but you didn't need that hint. You nailed it.
Yeah.
Newfoundland and Labrador, I wouldn't have guessed this one. The most common last name there is Power.
Nope. Never in a million years.
Smith is second, Power. Then White, then Parsons. Prince Edward Island, it is also McDonald.
Okay.
But then Gallant, Arsenault, and Campbell.
Not too bad Green isn't there.
Mm.
From the potatoes. Yeah. And at Green Gables, it's fine. Continue on.
New Brunswick, lots of French people in New Brunswick. I wouldn't have guessed this. LeBlanc is the most common last name in New Brunswick.
Nope.
And then Cormier, Richard, and Robichaud.
Okay. Interesting.
Quebec.
It's French, obviously.
Yes. And long time ago on the show, we talked about this, how there are no, like, Canadian last names. Like, all of our last names are just, like, the most common names here in Canada are, like, English last names,
yeah.
Right? But Quebec does have, like, some Canadian-specific names. Like, there are names that appear there that don't necessarily come from France.
Interesting.
Including, I think, Tremblay, which is the most common last name in Quebec, followed by Gagnon,
yep.
Waugh, and Côté.
I know a few Gagnons.
Do you? You know some Gagnons?
I also know some LeBlancs.
But on this whole map, the one that surprised me the most was Manitoba. Their last names are a little bit different. And it has to do with, like, the Mennonite influence in Manitoba. So I never would have guessed this, but Smith is the second most common name. The most common last name in Manitoba is Friesen.
Nope. Never would have guessed that. That's a big Mennonite name?
Yeah. Third is Weeb. Okay. And fourth is Clausen.
Yeah.
So Manitoba is really an outlier. Like, to think that in most of the prairies and up north, it's Smith. But then Manitoba's kind of doing its own thing there. So
it's got its own little flair.
Yeah. I thought this was so fascinating.
That's cool.
Yeah, maybe I'll try to throw this up on the X Instagram story if you want to pick through the list.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
I was thinking about the saying yesterday, he aged like a fine wine.
Mm-hmm.
And I got thinking about that and I was like, you know, that is nice. As we get older, I just had another birthday. So, you know.
36 now.
Grandma. I know.
Quite old.
Very old. But then I was like, a lot of things don't get great with age. You know, a lot of things are not good. You kind of decline a little bit when it comes to age. So it's sometimes nice to flip your perspective and talk about some things that do age well, like wine, like the saying says.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about other things that age well that we can think about. Not a whole lot out there, but there's some stuff. Okay.
Well, whiskey.
I was going to say along the same lines as wine, then whiskey.
Cheese.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, to a certain extent.
To a certain extent, yeah.
You can just cut off the moldy bits, though, and keep it. You, as somebody who is very particular, you like cheese. I'm assuming you don't cut off the moldy bits, though, and continue to eat it?
Depends if it's a hard cheese or a soft cheese.
Oh, you will?
Yeah, because I think with a hard cheese you can, but a soft cheese, if you're seeing mold, then those molds have reached their tendrils deeper into the cheese.
Okay, so. I just thought, you know, with, like, green things, I was like, you'd see mold and freak out, but okay, good for you. Violins are one.
Ah, yes. You've told us about that, how the wood gets warmer and...
Yeah, the more you play it. So a violin, if it's not played, will also not appreciate in value nearly as quickly. The more you play it, the more warm the sound is, which is kind of crazy.
But... Do you know what's happening on a chemical level?
No idea.
No?
No. I wonder.
I don't either.
Yeah, it must be. Yeah, that would be a good question.
Why playing it would make it sound better? Does it just...
I know.
Does the wood kind of just like settle into a nicer tone?
It must. And I know as you play it, there's microscopic grooves kind of where your fingers are because there's no frets on a violin. And I know that gets worked in a little more.
Oh, okay.
So that maybe helps soften the wood a bit the more you touch it with your human oils and stuff.
Okay.
You know, it's a little bit gross. So there's another one for you.
Classic cars.
Oh, yeah.
Classic. If you own a classic car.
You're right.
The older that thing gets, the more special it is.
Antiques. A lot of antiques do appreciate, although some now I find aren't. Things like fine china that used to appreciate with value. Those ones not so much anymore because nobody wants it. But antiques, like antique lamps and that kind of stuff. People love retro.
Sure they do.
Here's one that I thought you'd like. Trees.
Oh, yeah.
Trees get better with age.
Yes, they do.
They're one of the things that grow older and you're like, yeah, get bigger.
And if you see like a real old boy, you're like,
yeah. Add more rings
you know
to
some
that.
Things. Look at the wisdom in that.
Look at Trump.
In this lot across the street from us here, yeah. I think there's going to be a condo development going there eventually, but there is a massive stump. And I wonder how old that tree was. Like
that's sad. Well, it's like the one that they just took down in Stampede Grounds, right?
Yeah, that's right.
It's a sad tree. It's what, 100 and something years old, and they just cut that one down.
I mean, I get it.
I know.
I get it. Like
it hurts.
Progress marches on, but it does. Yeah, something that stood there for so long.
Yeah, cowboy boots.
They get better with age.
They get better with age. You got to work them in. They're stiff at first, and then that softens up, and leather gets better with age.
Leather in general. Yeah, like a baseball glove. Or again, to a point, it could be falling apart.
Right.
But
Jennifer Aniston.
Mm.
Yeah,
there's got to be some shenanigans going on there.
She's getting younger. It's odd.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
We were chatting with Sam, our weekend and video guy, yesterday.
Yeah.
His vehicle died, and he had to buy a new one. So he found a vehicle that he liked and he's got everything ready to go to pick it up and all that.
Also awful because it died on his birthday.
Yeah, this old vehicle had given him so much trouble.
Man. Like
he had spent so much money repairing it and stuff, and then it just craps out on him on his birthday.
I went and rescued him after because it happened kind of during our show at the end. So I ran down and picked him up. I'm like, happy birthday.
But his new vehicle, kind of a birthday present to himself.
Very exciting. And he was looking. So
yeah. Here's the thing though. And I didn't realize that dealerships were doing this. He said he has the cash to pay for it. What they're asking.
Yeah.
They won't sell it to him for cash. He has to finance it.
What?
And I think they said like a minimum of 6 months he has to finance it.
Why would that be?
So that they can get you on the financing.
Oh my Lord.
I was like, but I have the money. Like this is what you want for the vehicle.
Yeah.
Here's my money. Take it. And then I will take the vehicle. That's how this transaction works. No. And it's funny that he mentioned that because like my truck is on death's door. I'm going to buy a new truck right away. So I'm looking online at all these different trucks and like if you go on Marketplace and I type in like the year that I'm looking for and the like all that sort of thing,
yeah,
it spits back a lot of trucks that don't have the actual sticker price listed, just the weekly payments.
Wow.
So instead of saying, you know, X dollars for this truck,
I'll
say, yeah, I can't either. Like I didn't think that is how business worked. If someone has the money to pay for what you want, how do you force them into a financing plan?
Wow. Because my parents, that's what they did with their two vehicles. They bought two new ones and they walked in with cash.
Right. Because they sold their house.
Because they sold their house
and
they had cash, lots of it. And so they walked in. We want not one, two new vehicles. Here's cash for it. I thought they'd like that. I thought they'd be like, sweet, these people have the cash. Let's go and give them some cars.
I think dealerships like financing.
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, it makes like banks do too.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I don't. Yeah, I didn't know that was, like you said, allowed.
No.
Or I guess with the way that the...
That's crazy.
Especially the used vehicle market is right now, like they hold all the power.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
We're not making enough, so we're going to make you in debt and then up your payments so you pay interest even though you have the money so that we make more. That's terrifying.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks for that.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Someone messaged and said, and you probably could have figured this out, but the dealerships get kickbacks from the financers.
Of course.
From the banks. So
it's perfect sense.
They want you to go that way.
Yeah.
And really, I mean, they kind of have you by the short and curlies right now, the dealerships, because there just still isn't that much inventory.
No.
Like I'm looking to, as I said, I'm looking to buy a truck right now, and it's like a little bit of a bummer because like I put my parameters in and there's like 20 trucks in all of Western Canada that meet those criteria. And then,
yeah,
it sucks.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's still not a great time to buy a used vehicle if you have to.
No, I am very grateful that, my car did not cost me $4,000 and have to go and look for another one because that was what I was fearing too. So I was like, no, you look out, you're like, can you just hang on a little bit longer? That would be great.
Yeah, if you can keep your vehicle running right now, that's the way to do it,
that's,
I think.
If you can, but, yeah.
I don't know how things are on the like new vehicle side because for a while there were just no new vehicles either. I know I told this story on What Did You Learn Today? I don't think I used on the podcast, but a friend of mine is looking to buy a van. And the one van he was looking for, he said the pre-owned ones were more expensive than new because new ones are back-ordered for 2 years. So if you want that van, you have to pay a premium to get it now, and it's used.
That's crazy. That's absolutely insane.
Yeah. So hopefully I can wrap up this truck hunt soon and find something good.
We're going truck hunting.
My brother-in-law has like the exact truck that I want, and I keep like suggesting to him, hey, have you seen the new ones? They're really nice. You should you should consider buying a newer model.
You sell
maybe unloading that one.
Can I have it? That truck would look perfect parked in the driveway of a Shane Holmes home.
Yes. And they do have front drive homes. They have lane homes.
Yep.
They have paired homes.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever your needs are, Shane Holmes can meet them.
Yes, they can.
And you can learn more about everything that Shane Holmes builds, where they build, their affordable customization at ShaneHolmes.com. Shane Holmes.
The better way to build.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Yesterday, I had the TV on in the background, and my boyfriend's favorite show, Big Bang Theory, came on.
That's a Big Bang Theory guy, isn't he?
Big Bang Theory guy. But in the show at this time, Sheldon, he has a TV show that he was recording of his own called Fun with Flags.
I think I knew that he was into vexillology,
yes,
right?
And the joke is that it's not fun. It's very boring, vexillology. but that is part of the show. And so I was listening to this, and then he asked a couple questions about vexillology. And Beckler, you are a big vexillologist.
Well, I do enjoy flags.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're an amateur vexillologist, I'd say. But I was curious when I heard him talking about the different questions and stuff, if you'd know the answers to any of these.
Try me. I'll do my best.
So I recorded this here. So let's just jump into it.
Fun and information are two sides to this video podcast, not unlike the only two-sided state flag.
Two-sided state flag?
There is a double-sided state flag. This is a tough one. I'm sorry.
Jeez, I don't know that.
Oregon.
Oregon has two sides, like it's different on each side?
Yeah, it's the only flag left that had two sides, so...
No, I did not know that.
Okay, we'll jump into the next one.
Oregon.
There we go. And here's the next one.
In future episodes, we'll answer some burning questions. What's the only non-rectangular flag?
Is this U.S. states? Nope, this one is beyond...
The only non-rectangular flag, I believe, is Nepal.
Yes! Nailed it! Okay, next.
What animal appears most often on flags?
It's got to be a bird.
Shockingly, although that's the second, but yes, it's the lion.
The lion. Okay, I guess it's in all those like coats of arms and stuff, isn't
totally.
It?
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you just answer the next one, which is?
What animal appears second most often on flags?
Bird.
And then a laugh track, of course.
And more. Let's start by identifying the parts of our flag.
Do you know any of the parts of the flag?
Yeah, there's the hoist, the charge.
Yep.
Canton? Is
yes.
That, yeah.
The Canton is the small little picture emblem on the left side there. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm missing a few. But
There's a couple. The field is what they call it.
Yeah.
And then this one I didn't know, but the halyard.
Oh.
Which is that little rope inside that hoists the flag up against the pole.
Okay.
I didn't know that was called the halyard.
Didn't know that either.
And this one's really tough, but it's a bonus question because he jumps into that, but I couldn't record it. Two countries had the same flag for 18 years and didn't know it. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
So it was Haiti and Liechtenstein.
Oh, okay.
And
who changed?
They didn't realize it, and then they did at the Olympics. They showed up and they both had their flags, and their flags are very simple. It's half blue and half red. So
I guess like pre-internet, how often how are you going to encounter these flags?
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah. So they both showed
up. That's hilarious.
Like, oh, same flag. Oh,
well, one of us is going to have to change.
The Fagler and Shauna podcast.
Well, the Arizona Coyotes are officially finished.
They gone.
They are moving to Salt Lake City. The sale has been finalized.
Going to Utah.
Yeah, and it's not going to be the Salt Lake City something. It's the team will be called the Utah whatever they decide on.
Yeah.
I think they're going to play next season without a name.
Oh.
It's just going to be
Utah?
Utah.
Okay.
But I saw yesterday they had trademarked a few different monikers, like the Utah Blizzard, Fury, the Venom.
All right.
All those are decent, I think.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Yeah, but I think Coyotes fans are quite sad. I don't know if there are any around here, but I was just like going through some of the hockey forums I'm part of, and their fans were pretty emotional. I think it was quite an emotional night at Mullet Arena for their last game.
Like, I could see that.
The team took a photo with the front office staff and everything. Yeah.
For the 10 fans that
damn
went to the game.
Shauna, they lost their team. You don't have to drag them.
Tough time.
That is
the reason they lost their team is because they didn't have enough support. I'm sorry. I know for the fan, for the true fans, it would really suck. Because
they were
honestly
playing in a college arena in front of not even 5,000 fans.
And I mean, Mullet Arena is still a great name for arena.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I like that. Anyway.
Do you care to say a few words in eulogy for the Arizona Coyotes?
Yes.
I remember when the Coyotes came in the league.
Yeah.
And now they're gone.
It's true.
And we'll have a new team next year.
Okay, here we
go. So, yes. Please, if you could, Shauna, say a few words.
We are gathered here today to remember the Arizona Coyotes. The Coyotes actually, they started well as the Winnipeg Jets. They were the most successful team in what was the World Hockey Association. But then their owners chose to move the team to Phoenix. And it was all downhill from there. Perhaps because they moved an ice hockey team to the desert. I don't know. But anyway, the owner then had to give up the team. He filed for bankruptcy. The NHL took over. They fought with Glendale and they found new ownership. And then that sucked too. And then the city said frig off and they moved to the college campus. And that was bad. And so now they're gone. It was a whole kerfuffle of things.
Was
that
it ever?
Here. Yeah, it wasn't good. Wasn't good at all. And now they're off to Utah. So honestly, let's hope the Mormons are better supporters of hockey than the retirees in Arizona.
And the tanned retirees of Arizona.
Yeah, yeah, the leather skins of Arizona. Beckler, do you have a musical choice?
I do.
Okay, great.
Well, I've been through the desert on a horse with no name. It felt good to be out of the rain. In the desert, you can't remember your name, because there ain't no one for to give you no pain. And that's really true. There really was no one in the desert at those games. So.
Nope. The 10 fans.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
I don't know if you saw this, Beckler, but Mono Whales just called it quits.
You mentioned this to me.
Yeah.
And I didn't see that. It's a real shame, because I feel like they were on the upswing as a band.
That's really what I thought about it as well. But obviously, I don't know, they wanted to go and do different things, or they weren't making enough money at it or whatever. It got me thinking about this, though, and I don't know why, but you have two young boys. Let's say they are trying to make a go of it being a musician.
Mm-hmm.
Is there going to be a point where you're going to be like, maybe you should try and do something else? Like, are you going to set deadlines on that kind of thing?
Man, that's a tough question.
And when it comes to like living at home even, right? Because is there a certain time where maybe they're pursuing something and they're still living at home where you're going to be like, all right, you're at the time where you have to actually start making enough money to support yourself. You know what I mean?
Man, that is a really tough question, because I mean, you want your kids to pursue the things that they're passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
But music is a very tough game.
Totally.
And it's why, I mean, we always mention this, but when you look into it, you start to realize how many people who made it in the arts, like music, acting, they come from like wealthy backgrounds where there isn't that pressure that you like, hey, you have to go earn a living. Like so many of the people who make it big, they have this cushion that most people don't, right?
Totally.
Where it's like, I can take 10 years to pursue this dream.
Yeah.
And don't have to worry about how my bills are going to get paid.
Whereas, most people, average person, can't afford to take 10 years of money to just pursue a dream. So, I know, it's tough, right? Because, again, you don't want to crush a dream, but at what point is it like, okay, maybe you should look at something else also, even? You know what I mean? Like, can you shift out to do both. But
the other thing is that it's just so bloody expensive right now.
Yeah.
My youngest brother, he's in his late 20s and he still lives at home. He's a painter, right? Yep. And part of the year he'll go and live in other countries and paint and do these like residencies. And then he comes back and lives with my parents. And I don't think they have any intention of kicking him out at all.
Yeah.
Because I mean, he tries to help out when he's there. Like he cooks and he drives them around and stuff. So I think they really like that.
Yeah.
And you know, moving out now for a young person isn't the same environment that it was when you and I were young.
Nope.
Like it's not that easy to go move out on your own.
Nope.
If you're, you know, 19, 20 years old.
It's true. And I think a lot of people are staying at home longer. And also with your parents, they probably love having one of their kids around too.
I think so.
You know, but if you're not, I guess, sitting in the basement and doing nothing. Right.
Right.
And I think
he does
there's
work.
A difference.
Right. He has a job. He has a full-time job.
And that's very different. Yeah.
It doesn't pay enough for him to like survive off of, you know? So
no. And I know my parents, let's say I moved back and they would absolutely love it because they'd have us back. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Because my sister and I are so spread apart and we don't see each other very often that I think they'd be like, that's fantastic. Come and live with us now.
You could stay as long as you like while
I mean, obviously again, I'd have to work and contribute and potentially pay rent, but they would love to have me around for sure. It'll be a hell of a lot cheaper.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know how I would approach that. I think it would depend on the situation. Like how hard are you really working at this dream? You know?
Yeah.
And are you also, you know, contributing in other ways? Are you, you know, do you work part-time?
Okay. We're going to set up a call and you're going to have to tell me how many jobs you've applied to. Okay. And what you're doing to move forward.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Friend of the show, Danielle, has another thing you can't look cool doing.
What's that?
Walking around the airport with one of those neck pillows around your neck.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's a look.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're like a grown ass man.
Yep. Yeah, I see that more and more now. More and more people I find do that, and they're also in pajamas, which really adds to the look.
Yeah.
And most of the times, that same person is wearing Crocs.
Jeez, am I in your bedroom, or are we on a plane with 200 people here?
Honestly, it's the aesthetic that really goes hand in hand, it seems. So, and that just really adds to it.
Danielle went on to say that she said most airport behavior is not cool. There's a lot of not cool behavior at the airport, isn't there?
Yeah.
I mean, you fly a lot.
Yeah.
Can you think of any others?
The big one is the pajama pants and just the number of Crocs that truly are now through airports. Again, the one thing is going through security with Crocs, you don't have to take them off.
True.
That's a big thing.
And I've got boots that lace all the way up and it's not easy.
Me too. And that's always annoying. I'm like, why do you do this to yourself? Running shoes, though, also are good through. So you could go and do that rather than the Crocs, right? Yeah. Taking your shoes off, of course, in the plane is a very common thing. And that also, I don't think you can look cool doing that.
Jeez, when I travel, I just like, I keep everything close and tight and small.
Yeah.
And I try to not even really be noticed. Yeah. You know, if you don't know I'm there, I've done a great job.
The things are on your eyes as well.
Yeah.
When you go plop down on the seat and you put that thing on and then you just have the neck pillow and
your neck pillow
slobbering out the side of your mouth and you're leaning into the aisle a little bit. And
jeez, it's a 2-hour flight. You're going to be okay.
You've been listening to the Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Brought to you by Shane Holmes, offering affordable customization on your new home.
You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's Alternative. X92.9, Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have Beckler and Shauna downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.